Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for listening to Overtime. My name is Darius Scott, and I'm joined by my co-host, Jeff Craig. What's up, Jeff?
What's up, Darius?
So, if you guys are listening, the way I tend to lead off the show is mention about one or two things I could really care less about, and then from there I get into the meat of the show, what I really want to talk about. So, I guess the first thing I'll start off with: did you watch the solar eclipse yesterday?
You know I did.
Really, and I'm sure you got a blast out of it.
Oh yeah, I had a great time. Went down to the Franklin Institute in Philadelphia. paid a whole lot of money, but it was well worth it. So yeah, we made a whole day out of it, you know, and had a good time.
Now, did you? Well, I guess since you went down there, you didn't have to buy any of those special glasses or nothing like that.
So initially, we were supposed to go to a school not too far from us, and a guy that, you know, he has a telescope and everything, he was actually selling the glasses. Last minute, my sister called and said, hey, let's go to the Franklin Institute. So luckily we already had glasses, because by the time we got down there, they had run out of glasses. There were so many people there.
Right. I'm not even sure, because I spent about 3 seconds looking at the solar eclipse. How long did it actually last for?
So the eclipse started in Philadelphia. It started around 1:21, I believe, or 1:23, somewhere around there, and was at its peak, I believe, at 2:44, and lasted until 4:01 p.m. So it was quite a while. You know, unfortunately, being in Philadelphia with the pollution and some other things, you know, there were a lot of clouds and things that kind of obstructed your view, and so we didn't get a clear shot for a very long period of time. You know, you might get 20 seconds here, 20 seconds there, but it's still enjoyable. I was glad I was able to experience that.
Right. Well, see. Wrong.
Got interviewed by Channel 10 also.
Ah, well, look at that. I guess that makes it worth it. But me, I'm the kind of person where everyone talking about the solar eclipse, and that, like, it started right around our lunchtime. So everyone was talking about solar eclipse, solar eclipse, solar eclipse, and I'm just like, what's for lunch? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It just did nothing for me. I saw everyone else excited about it. I'm like, I don't really care to stare at the sky for, I mean, 6 hours, or not 6 hours, for like an hour and a half. I mean, just, I was completely unexcited about it. I mean, everyone else was crowding around the window. Some people had glasses looking out the window at work. So I grabbed some of the glasses. I looked outside for 5 seconds. I'm like, this is it? All right, I'm done.
I mean, when you can see the moon, you know, literally slide in front of the sun and everything, I mean, it was pretty cool to me.
I mean, hey, don't get me wrong. It's something that I think I've been hearing people say we'll never see it again. Some other people saying we will see it again in our lifetime. I don't know. And like I said, it doesn't really matter to me. I guess if someone asks, did I see the solar eclipse, I can say, yeah, but... Like, I mean, that's about it. So people would be like, "Did you see the solar eclipse?" I'm like, "Yeah." But now, if my grandkids ask me that question, like 50 years from now, did I see the solar eclipse? I'm gonna make something up. Like, did I see the solar eclipse? Man, there was fire shooting from the moon. It looked like the moon was about to explode. The Earth was in danger. I'm gonna make up like some crazy story. But I mean. Yeah, it didn't really do nothing.
I mean, the best part is that I'll never have to second guess or regret the choice not to do it. because I did do it. So, you know, just that slight peace of mind of, you know, never wondering, like, well, dang, I wonder how much I would have enjoyed if I had actually seen it. I don't have to do that. So.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, being that I actually saw it, it looks exactly like it does in the picture that somebody took. So I didn't even have to waste those 5 seconds of my life. So, yeah, I mean, pretty cool, whatever. But there's a sports happened today, if you didn't know.
Yes. Sports happen, seems like, every day.
Sports is happening right now, actually.
True.
Because it's preseason time, I don't care to talk about preseason. It does nothing for me. Because everyone gets hyped about guys that aren't planning to stop each other, guys that are out there just trying to make a team, guys that aren't really taking it all, like, 100% serious. So if I mean,
let's not act like there's news out there, though. I mean, listen, the Lions are trying to decide whether to give Stafford $25 million a year. That's not news?
Not really. Not really, no.
Yeah. Well, you say that now, but if we make the playoffs, then it might be news.
All right, so let's talk about that 6 months from now. But the news that I'm referring to that actually is happening right now is the Celtics and the Cavaliers are actually engaged in serious trade talks.
I've heard.
And obviously, if the Celtics are talking about trading a player, it's obviously going to be Kyrie Irving. But the interesting thing is who the Celtics are trying, or who the Celtics are potentially trading. And it's looking like it's going to be Isaiah Thomas, Atis Zizic, if I'm saying his name correctly, and Jay Crowder. That's what I saw. So I don't know if Celtics picks are involved. I don't know if the Cavs have another player involved or not, but the latest I saw is that that's the potential trade, and they are in, quote, engaging in serious trade talks, end quote.
So have they waived the idea of throwing in that draft pick as, you know, potential trade bait?
I mean, I would hope the Celtics leave the draft pick out of it, because giving up Isaiah and Jay Crowder is – a lot. I mean,
but when you're asking for Kyrie, how much is it really?
I mean, you're going to have Kyrie for another couple of years. I think this year and next year. And being that he's younger than Isaiah, Kyrie's only 25. Isaiah's about to be 29. So I would feel like there's no hesitation to give Kyrie. I don't think he's eligible for a Supermax. But, I mean, whatever the next best thing is, I think Kyrie would be eligible for that, and the Celtics could definitely throw that at him instead of – because I think they were very eerie on giving that to Isaiah. So, well, I'm Isaiah Thomas. I don't know the guy well enough to call him Isaiah. But the Celtics, they weren't very welcoming to give that long-term deal to Isaiah, but Kyrie's a different story, being that he's a whole 4 years younger, 4 years younger than the guy.
Okay.
So, I mean, it works out for the Celtics. I mean, they're getting another scoring guard who doesn't really play defense, but he's a lot younger, and he's probably a better scorer. And the Cavs are just getting a lot better defensively. LeBron doesn't have to guard Kevin Durant anymore. And he can probably be out there chasing Draymond Green, which is definitely not easy, but it's not Kevin Durant.
So it's a win-win for everyone.
I will say the Celtics don't lose the trade if they keep the picks out of it, because Isaiah Thomas, obviously, I can't remember if he made All NBA or not. I think he did, but Isaiah Thomas is an all-NBA caliber player, and they're also giving away a very good defensive player. And the Celtics are only getting back Kyrie. So I think that's even enough. But now I'm seeing that The Cavs would also get some draft picks. It doesn't say what picks, but it says some draft picks.
So I was under the impression that the Cavs would be receiving that Brooklyn pick that the Celtics have for one of either 2018 or 2019.
I would hope not, because I don't know if Kyrie's worth all that. Because Isaiah is a very good player. Well, now don't get me wrong, he's definitely a couple years older. But Isaiah's a good player. Jay Crowder is a very good player, and you're giving up the number one, or the potential number one pick in the draft. That's a lot.
Yeah, but you know, when you have a guy that's proven with Kyrie Irving, I mean, you don't know. I mean, Isaiah Thomas is a more of a one-dimensional type player. You already know what you're getting with him.
Kyrie is too.
Jay Crowder is I mean, he's a nice addition. He's a defensive guy. Can put the ball in the basket a little bit. But, I mean, neither one of those guys bring to the table what Kyrie Irving brings to the table.
I mean, you're right in the sense that when you think of the best scorer in the league, it probably is Kyrie Irving, the guy who puts the ball in the basket the best.
So Isaiah Thomas made All-NBA second team, just so you know. Curry, Isaiah Thomas, Kevin Durant, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Rudy Gobert.
All right, so Kyrie didn't make All-NBA, but he's definitely on that level, though. Kyrie's on that level, and Isaiah Thomas obviously is too. So I feel like those two straight up wouldn't want to be a 100% even trade, but throwing in Jay Crowder kind of evens it out. But then you throw in the pick. Well, let me ask you this. Would you take that trade if you're the Celtics, or would you be willing to throw in that pick if you're the Celtics?
Wow, tough one. Well, first, I mean, I would have to look at the lineup that I have currently. I mean, what is my starting lineup going to look like now? I mean, we have Gordon. I mean, so I guess it's easy for me to start at the five, Al Horford. Then who's the starting four? Is it Jaylen Brown or?
I'm assuming it's going to be one of the Morris brother that is.
Correct. Okay, so it's one of the Morris twins. So that's four. Then who's the starting three? Gordon Hayward.
Let me walk that back, because it might not be the Morris brother. It might be Crowder. Like, they might just start small. Crowder at the four and Gordon Hayward at the three.
I guess my thing is, who is Isaiah Thomas, a one or a two?
Well, he's 5'9". It's got to be the point. I guess it doesn't really matter, because Isaiah's not going to be guarding the best, whoever the best player is on the other team, point guard or shooting guard. He's not going to guard them. So it kind of doesn't matter. But is who plays the two, I think, is the question. Is it Marcus Smart or Jaylen Brown?
Okay. Man, that's tough. I just feel like Kyrie brings so much to the table. And, you know, with a draft pick that you don't have yet, you never know what you're going to get in a draft pick. You know what you have in Kyrie Irving. I mean, Kyrie has the potential to be one of the elites, one of the greatest in the game currently. I mean, Isaiah Thomas to me is one-dimensional. And not that Kyrie Irving isn't, but I just feel I feel Kyrie's the better player. The only thing that would hurt is, okay, so I don't mind giving up more if it's more beneficial for my team. So if I can have two staples on my team where I have Gordon Hayward and Isaiah Thomas as the faces of my franchise, is that better than having a full-out team? I mean, we're not talking about the Detroit Pistons. You know, it's not like we have Chauncey Rip, T. Tayshaun, Rashid, and Ben. This is a little different. The Celtics aren't on that level. And I feel like you got to go with two staples than you do with just a bunch of guys, right?
I mean, yeah. See, I don't disagree with you, but I don't know if I agree with you.
Okay.
Because I'm not so against giving up the pick because, like, a draft pick is essentially a mystery box. Like, a mystery box is, it can be something great, or it could be something terrible. There's an episode of Family Guy where Peter Griffin is on, it's not Family Feud, he's on Wheel of Fortune. And they ask him, you just won. Do you want a boat or do you want the mystery box? And he's sitting there thinking, well, I could take the boat, but I probably should take the mystery box because you never know what's in it. It could be another boat. So that's how I view the draft pick. Like you could hold on to that pick and you could get, I don't know, Hashim Thabeet, or you could get another Kyrie Irving. So I mean, so on one hand, it's like don't be afraid to give up the draft pick because it could be a number of things, and you can definitely get the younger, better Kyrie Irving. But then it's like, but you're also giving up the pick with Jay Crowder. Like, that's where I'm stuck.
Yeah. Wow. Tough one. And then the other thing that I wonder is, will Kyrie re-sign with you? I mean, Boston wasn't on his idea destination list.
Nope. But, I mean, things tend to change, though, because say he goes there and, I mean, being that where we are in the country outside of sports, I would assume he wouldn't re-sign in Boston. But you never know. Like, maybe he goes there and he loves his teammates. He loves the city, perhaps. Maybe that changes his mind. Maybe he says, you know what, I kind of do want to continue to play here.
That's a big time.
It's like that's another huge gamble. Whereas Boston, it's like, do you really take that shot? Yeah, man. I don't know. And I guess we'll take a quick pause on this conversation because we have Lou waiting on the line. So maybe he wants to talk more Kyrie Irving and Isaiah Thomas. So maybe he wants to talk about, I don't know, some football. What's on your mind?
Hey, I just heard the news about this with the Celtics and Cavaliers trying to trade for Irving. Now, I know he doesn't want to play.
Yeah.
I know he doesn't want to play for with LeBron anymore, but you know, the Celtics. Ugh. That's all we need.
I mean,
yo, could you imagine this though? If Kyrie were to sign with the Celtics. And LeBron were to go to the Lakers. I mean, what if we got an LA Boston championship again? And it'd be versus LeBron.
The good old days.
Wouldn't that be something?
I mean,
the good old days.
I think you're wishing for a lot because neither of them are going to beat the Warriors. But
I'm not wishing for that, but it would be something if it happened.
I just had the thought slip my mind. I had a thought I was going to say it and it made perfect sense, and now it's just going to, I don't know. I have nothing.
But where does Crowder fit in all this?
I mean, I think Crowder is a huge addition for the Cavs if this trade actually happens because he's not as big as LeBron, but he's the guy for the Celtics who always guards, whether it's probably the best wing player. So whether the guy is like a 6'5 slasher or he's a Kevin Durant type of player, that's usually Jay Crowder's person. And in the finals last year, that's where I was about to go with this. In the finals last year, LeBron has to guard Durant, and while he's capable of not shutting him down, but he's capable of staying with him better than probably most other players can, it's very tiring for LeBron to have to chase Durant all around the court. Now, that'll probably be Jay Crowder's job. If this trade were to happen, Jay Crowder's the one chasing Kevin Durant around, and LeBron's probably somewhere else. So I think if this trade happens, it gives the Cavs a much better shot at the Warriors.
I was afraid of that.
Yeah, and I think, like, inevitably the Celtics and Cavs would meet in the Eastern Conference Finals because the East is so bad this year that those teams will, I don't know if they'll sweep their way to the Eastern Conference Finals, but they'll definitely, in my opinion, meet each other there, and I think the Cavs might sweep them.
Wonder why Mark Cuban said he wants to move Houston out of the West Conference into the East because the West is too powerful and the East is would be more competitive for him. Oh boy.
I mean, isn't Memphis closer east to? Or isn't Memphis closer east than, like, a lot of the Western Conference teams? Like, wouldn't that make sense?
Yes. Well, those are his words, not mine.
No, I got you. So we'll take a quick detour away from basketball and talk a little football. Do you like what you see from your Cowboys in preseason, Will?
No, not really.
Why is that?
Well, considering all their off-the-field issues, I think it may be affecting their game a little bit. So, but remember, and they just cut a linebacker today, too.
I mean, I feel like the Cowboys don't need – I can't remember the guy's name, but the guy that was
– Jahad Thomas. I think it's pronounced Jahad.
Well, the linebacker you guys have now that you drafted last year and he was hurt and they didn't know if he would play again, that guy, it looks like he's going to play, right?
Yeah, it looks it.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's like everyone expects that guy to be a really good player, so if he turns out that way, I mean, I don't think you guys need more linebackers. I mean, you have Sean Lee. This guy, I can't think of this guy's name, but you have him, and then, I mean, obviously you need some backups, but I would think the Cowboys look pretty good in terms of a linebacker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, if you're getting rid of your weakest player, then I guess it won't matter. He was an injury reserve, but was cleared off of waivers not that long ago. But after the performance this week, is like you're out of here. Bye bye.
Well, I mean, I think as long as whatever happens with Ezekiel Elliott, I think as long as it doesn't linger into the end of the season, I think the Cowboys will be fine. I think they won't have any issues at all.
If they can concentrate on off the field issues, yes.
You said offensive issues?
No, off the field issues. Like with Ezekiel. If they can get away from that, yes, they'll do fine. If not, it's gonna be a long season.
I mean, off the field issues don't really affect the players on the field.
It could.
I don't think that happens.
It could. Because, you know, it only takes this one little change in the lineup. It can either help you or it could screw you.
I mean, I don't think a player drops a ball and says, "Sorry, coach, I was thinking about Ezekiel Elliott pending a case coming up." Like, I just don't think that happens.
That's just my theory.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Ezekiel Elliott might think that way, which I don't even think he would. But I don't think Des Bryant was dropping a pass because he was thinking about Ezekiel Elliott. I just don't buy into the idea of off the field distractions affecting players on the field. But who knows? We'll see what happens with that. Any other thoughts on preseason?
Well, Matt Forte is going to come back this season after being out with a hamstring.
I mean, he plays for the Jets, and the Jets are...
I know.
The Jets have no... I'll say the Jets have no shot of getting 2 wins. So
I'm hearing a lot of that this year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to talk much about the Jets because I don't think they're worth it. I don't think they're worth the time. So,
yeah, the Jets are just getting a bad rap this year.
Hey, Lou, quick question.
Yes.
You're from Jersey, right?
Correct.
How did you become a Cowboys fan?
Oh, it runs in my family. See, because back when I was young, I mean young, you know, Dallas was the king of the division in the East. We had all the great players; they were America's team. While the Giants were nothing more than a second-rate banana team who didn't really belong in the league at that time. And, you know, all my cousins were Dallas fans and everything, and that's how I got to be one.
Oh wow! Okay.
On my mother's side.
Interesting. Just curious.
A lot of people have asked that, so you're not alone. A lot of people ask me over the years. You're not the first. Believe me, you're not the first. And you probably won't be the last either.
Nah.
All right, well, so, Lou, before I let you go, I'm going to ask you and Jeff this because I heard someone on the radio ask this question earlier today, and then I got a good laugh out of it, but then I actually had to take the question serious. So, who gets more wins this year? The Patriots or the Jaguars, Jets, and Browns combined?
Well, I'm going to put it like that. I'm going to have to say the Patriots. As much as I don't want to say it, the Patriots. As much as I hate to say
Jaguars, Jets, and Browns combined. Who gets more wins?
Patriots
get more
wins. We're
looking at a
guaranteed
10 wins. I mean, I'm assuming it's the Patriots. It could be the Patriots. Wow.
Unfortunately.
Isn't that...
Jaguars and Cleveland won't win more than 2 games. Now, I think we should also put in the Bears, too.
Well, I mean, I think...
The Bears will win, like, 4 games.
Yeah, I think the Bears will, or they're going to win a couple. But, I mean, when you look at Bortles between Blake Bortles and Chad Henne, you kind of just – it kind of makes you sick a little bit because
– What? I want Chad Henne in there.
I mean, he's an upgrade from Blake Bortles, but it's not like – it's not a huge jump. Because I'm upgrading from Blake
James.
Bortles. Yeah, I mean – and it's actually funny to think about it. When you think of all those teams – Chad Henne might be the best quarterback.
I don't know if you got the last joke.
What did you say?
Bortles, we call it Bortles and James. It's a wine cooler.
Is it? Oh, no. I did not know that. But
yeah, they got it last night, though.
Yeah. I don't drink many wine coolers, but... Lou, I appreciate you checking in with us, and hey, look forward to hearing from you soon.
Oh, you will.
Thanks, Lou.
All right.
Yeah, I'm actually I might have misspoke. DeShone Kizer might be the best quarterback out of those out of that trio of teams.
Too early for that. Too early.
I don't think it's too early. I mean, Brock Osweiler stinks. Blake Bortles stinks.
So was Kizer named the starting quarterback? I thought they said they were going to announce the quarterback soon.
No, he wasn't named the starting quarterback, but,
okay.
I mean, they might as well name the starting quarterback because Brock Osweiler, he's going to look bad from the jump. Like that, that dude is he's a really bad quarterback.
Well, how about this? And I'll do it in my Jeremy Schapp voice. What if I told you, what if the Jets get 4 wins this year?
Would
you believe it?
They don't like the Jets have no talent on that team. Matt Forte and Bilal Powell. That's it. Like that's actually it.
Yeah, I know. But they play the Bills twice. Play the Jags, which you don't know how that game can go or could go, and
gosh,
play the Browns.
How much would somebody have to pay you to watch that entire game? How much money would you require to watch a Jaguars Jets game? That's right. We should ask Kyle that.
You know what? The Browns game, that would be tough. To watch the Jets Browns game, that'd be a lot more tough.
We should ask our friend Kyle, who is a hardcore Jets fan. How many Jets games are you going to watch before this year? Two, would you watch the Jets Jaguars game?
I'm sorry, would I rather watch the Jets or the Jags?
No, I'm saying we should ask Kyle that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, shoot, the Jets are so bad, they might as well bring Curtis Martin back. They could probably bring Vinny Testaverde back, too, and still be a little more successful. So.
Like, yeah, man, that's an awful, awful situation. So I kind of want to pick up with basketball, but I forget where we left off. So until I remember, unless you remember, kind of had.
Well, we would. Go ahead.
Well, no, I was gonna shift to another preseason thing, but by all means, go ahead.
Well, I mean, sometimes it's good to have more than one topic on the table. I feel like we were talking about Kyrie. But, I mean, I was going to throw another thing out there and let you have another topic that, was burning your heart. So,
Well, all right, let's move to the next topic and then maybe we'll come back to it.
Okay.
So, did you by any chance watch the Giants-Browns preseason game last night? The preseason game that ended 10-6. The preseason game ended 10-6. I'm sure.
Yeah, I did see the game.
I'm sure advertisers are like, "Thank God we paid money for that."
Right.
So, what did you think of the players kneeling, and did it make a difference to you that one of the players kneeling was white?
So, I thought it was interesting. When you have a large group of players doing it, and you're not able to single out one person, as Dan Le Batard alluded to on Highly Questionable actually today, it says something to me, in my opinion. It says a little bit, not that it says more, but for whatever reason, as simple as people can be sometimes, I think that it plays to that in the sense that it looks as if there's actually something going on and people really doing something. Maybe not one person just calling for attention, screaming for attention, which I don't necessarily think that is the case, but I think a lot of other people viewed it that way. And so I think what they've done holds a tremendous weight, and maybe others will be encouraged to do the same. So I think it was a step in the. I think they're not. I don't want to use the word pioneers, but you know, I think it's cool that they were one of the first to do it. As far as having a white guy a part of it, I think that, I mean, it can go one of two ways, and I'm hoping it goes in the direction of, you know, maybe we should all open our eyes and you know, kind of put our, call it whatever you want to call it, prejudice or racism or whatever you want to call it, and say, hey, you know what, this is, we all live here. We can all do something about the situation that's going on.
I think one of the disservices that gets done through the media, and we're kind of like, I kind of started off this way, so I guess I'm doing it too. We don't talk about the reason why they're kneeling. We just talk about the fact that they are kneeling, and that dominates the conversation. And that's why I think it's important that not only a group of people kneels and a lot of people kneel, but the white players too, because there's an issue going, or there are issues going on in this country. Obviously, as seen last week in Charlottesville, issues of inequality around this country that haven't gone away, and it looks like they probably aren't going to go away anytime soon, at least not in my lifetime. And it's important that not just the people that are being oppressed, as Colin Kaepernick had originally stated why he was kneeling, but the people that aren't affected by this, that they notice that, you know what, there's a problem too, and we should take part in anything we can do to help remedy the situation. So seeing white people down there kneel is, or seeing a white person down there kneel is, it's good to see. I feel like that's potentially a start. And not that I have an issue with it, but it kind of just doesn't do much for me when I see like somebody kneeling and then another guy walks up next to the guy and he puts his hand on his shoulder. Yeah, I get you're showing support, and I can appreciate that in a sense, but it's like seeing something bad happen on the news and then tweeting your support about it. It's like, I don't know. It just doesn't do much for me.
Well, one thing I thought was kind of interesting, and, you know, if you give me the guy's name, because I don't remember the guy's name off the top of my head, I'll see if I can find an article or something, but he made a comment on ESPN today that I thought was kind of interesting, and he said, you know, one of the things that led him to take this stance or this kneel or whatever you want to call it was that he said he would be raising a child that doesn't look like him. What did he mean by that?
A football player said that?
The guy on the Cleveland Browns.
The guy on the Cleveland Browns, that he'd be raising a child that doesn't look like him?
Child.
Oh. I don't know.
Trying to find more about that. I just thought that was interesting that he said that. And so, were his eyes open because of the situation that, you know, he may potentially be in, or has he always been this way? And so, I mean, not that it even matters. Just the fact that whether it was yesterday or today, you know, and you see things on a much broader scale, I think that's tremendous. That's a great thing.
Well,
I'd like to see some of the bigger names, you know, kind of get involved, as we like to see in the NBA.
First, to the Cleveland Browns guy, maybe he's saying that after seeing what happened in Charlottesville, raising a child that doesn't look like me, yeah, he's in danger. He's like, I might not be in danger, but he is. So maybe that's what he meant. He meant by that. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Yeah.
But yeah. Well, we can bring in. We can bring in Marcus in on this conversation, or if you have other topics, which I'm sure you have 17 other topics that we're not going to be able to get to with 16 minutes left in the show, but. Marcus, we're talking about the Browns players kneeling last night and how it was nice to see that it was a group of them kneeling and it was more than black people kneeling.
Well, hold on. If I can say really quickly, actually, my dad was listening. Texted me and said he said that because his wife is African American. So yeah, I guess that would be the answer to our question.
Well, there you go.
Good afternoon. Good evening, fellas. How are you guys doing? Hello to everybody that's listening. Thank you for taking my call. Yes, I did have a few topics I wanted to touch on, but, you know, I know that time is short, so I'll try to condense it. So I think that on one hand, I feel like it's a double-edged sword, and we have to really, really be careful how we approach this whole kneeling thing. Because as it's becoming popular, it's very, very easy for it to lose its actual purpose. And I don't think that that's specifically the case with anything. That's the case with any movement, you know, that garners a lot of popularity quickly and doesn't have, like, strong leadership to keep you at the core message. I think the reason why...
Yeah, we were kind of discussing that, too, that a lot of the coverage around this has talked to... People discuss kneeling and not the reason for the kneeling.
Yes, because I haven't
really
heard.
Do you mind if I just interject for a
moment? Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
I don't know if it's 100% true. I'm still trying to figure out, but I'm seeing a lot of sources saying that the trade is official and that Kyrie has been traded.
Yes, it is. That was another thing I was going to point out. I'm watching on SportsCenter now.
Yeah, I'm watching SportsCenter.
Doesn't it feel good, Darius, to know that someone may have heard it first here?
Yeah, that, you know, officially reported by, you know, I'm not even going to go down that route. Marcus, go ahead.
But, yeah, I think that just since this whole thing started with Colin Kaepernick, I really haven't heard anything, you know, or not as much noise about police brutality and about police, you know, killing unarmed people. Whether people of color or otherwise, you know, that weren't like criminals or anything like that. Like that topic has completely left the conversation and we've gone off so far in the left field that yes, it's good now that we're bringing awareness, but like it's becoming like the thing to do. You know what I mean? So yeah, as you guys spoke of earlier, we definitely have to, and I think that we have to have, it would be easiest if there was like someone that could really, you know, take ownership of what the message was and get back to it. And then the second part is, okay, we're kneeling to bring awareness, but is that what we consider success? Is success, you know, just getting everybody to talk about it, or do we want some specific outcome? You know what I mean? Because, you know, I think it was during the ESPYs last year where, you know, Chris Paul, LeBron, and whoever else was on stage, Carmelo, they all talked about it. A couple other people talked about it. But then, you know, there hadn't been any killings in a while, so the issue just went away. You know what I mean? So I guess my point is, you know, when will we get back to, you know, to solving this? And then what's success? Like, is it to get some kind of legislation passed? Like, what are we trying to accomplish? The other two things I'll leave you with, just because I know time is short, is yes, the Cavaliers trade is official. Just your thoughts on this. Cleveland is getting Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, Ante Zizio, and an 18 pick. For Kyrie Irving going to the Celtics. So I guess my main thing is with that, what does this do to the Cavs? You know, like, do you think Isaiah Thomas is a defensive liability because of his size? How will he mesh with LeBron? Does this all but guarantee that LeBron's leaving, you know? And then the last thing I was going to ask about, again, you may not have time for this, but just switching gears to baseball. So basically the Dodgers look like they're in the driver's seat. You know, probably at the top of the power rankings. Do you guys see them as are they your favorites for the World Series? And do you take anything away from them because they're basically just going out and buying players, which they can do because they're in a large market?
Well,
so I'll leave it at that and let you guys have at it.
I appreciate the call in, appreciate the thoughts. I will talk to you sooner rather than later, probably because you're my brother. So, yeah.
That's a fair statement.
All right. So, kind of what Marcus was saying, Jeff, I feel like the person to kind of like take the lead on this whole kneeling thing and kind of reel it back into what it was actually meant to do is Colin Kaepernick. Ironically, the guy that started this whole thing, the guy who's actually doing, like, he's doing community service and he's providing he's providing his own money to other charities and organizations to help the youth. He's probably the one to reel this whole kneeling thing back in, so it doesn't just become we're kneeling just because we're kneeling because there's a reason behind it. And yeah, the NBA or no, I'm sorry, not the NBA, the NFL and the owners are doing, I gotta say, they're doing a bang up job of keeping him out of the league. Because that dude, when it comes to the three teams or the three NFL teams that we were talking about earlier who are a big joke, comes to them, he's obviously far from the best quarterback that any of those guys can produce, and he's not on the team. So I feel like if they want to reel this kneeling thing back into an actual cause instead of it just being a fad, Colin Kaepernick needs to be on the team.
Yeah. What's interesting, though, is that I don't think Colin Kaepernick needs to be on a team to – I think Colin Kaepernick was the guy to get the ball rolling. If the thing continued to snowball, you know, I mean, it'd be a nice story to have him, you know, back in the NFL and on a team, but I don't think he's needed if it continues the way that it's going at this rate or at this point. I just, as long as he continues to do what he's doing in terms of, you know, putting his money where his mouth is and you know, supporting his own cause and his own stance, I think the attention will come. I don't necessarily know if he needs to be in an NFL uniform to do that.
Well, I say that because he doesn't speak to the media as he probably shouldn't, because, you know, like, you don't do what he's doing just for – or actually, you don't do it at all for fame. You don't do it so that people say your name or discuss you. You do it because it's in your heart to give back when you've been given a lot. But when he's on a team in the NFL, he's actually required to stand in front of the media and speak. So because that is the case, they will ask him questions about his kneeling and his philanthropy and his just giving to less fortunate people. So that kind of reins back in the why this is like why we're kneeling to begin with. Whereas Michael Bennis kind of talked about it, but because so many people have knelt and will continue to kneel, he doesn't have, or his name reach ears like Colin Kaepernick's.
Yeah, I can agree with you on that.
Yeah. So we only got 7.5 minutes left. So now that the trade is official, the Nets 2018 pick is in play. What do you think?
I mean, is are the Cavs telling us something? You know, did, and I think you may have alluded to it earlier, but I mean, is are they letting us know, listen, LeBron's leaving also. We're trying to acquire as many assets as possible. We're trying to get ahead of this thing before the ship truly sinks. Maybe we can patch it up and maybe we can save it. Maybe we won't completely lose our fan base like we did years ago. And maybe the entire town of Cleveland won't suffer the way they did years ago. I mean, yes, you're going to lose LeBron in the end, but, you know, in the meantime, you're trying to get something back for some major pieces. I mean, granted, Kyrie didn't want to be there anyway. But the fact that, you know, you pick up Jay Crowder, you pick up a draft pick, and you get Isaiah Thomas, maybe it's not the worst thing in the world. And like, and to your point, like you said, I mean, the Cavs are, I mean, they're clearly stronger defensively with the addition of Jay Crowder. So, I mean, maybe it's not a bad thing in the end.
No,
at least
well,
for the Cavs.
Because I heard at the beginning of all this, Kyrie getting traded, like when it all started, I heard the Cavs were looking for in return a solid player and a prospect. So the Cavs, or the Celtics just gave them that. The Celtics just gave them two solid players and a prospect, which is going to probably be a fairly high pick. I mean, don't get me wrong, Jeremy Lin's my guy, but if Jeremy Lin's your best player, you might end up in the lottery. So the Cavs got what they wanted. The Celtics are going to get a pretty good player, and he's there for at least two more years. I think this sets the Cavs up for a true battle with the Warriors. Because that small ball lineup, it might be all right, man. The Cavs small ball lineup now with Kevin Love, LeBron, Crowder, I would guess J.R. Smith, and now Isaiah Thomas. It seems like a formidable foe.
I'm going to take
win.
A step further.
But
say that again. I didn't hear what you said.
No, I was just saying like they'll put up a much better fight against the Warriors with that Love, LeBron, Crowder, Isaiah Thomas, and then I would assume J.R. Smith. They'll put up a much better fight against the Warriors, even though the Warriors will still probably win.
I can't say that to be 100%. I mean. Yes, defense is very important. They say defense wins games and offense wins championships. But when you play a team like the Golden State Warriors, which we would assume they'd see in the NBA Finals, I mean, if and even put it like this, whoever comes out of the East, in my prediction, is going to face a high-powered offensive team, whether it be the Warriors or maybe it's the Rockets. Shoot, maybe the Blazers, I don't know, I'm just talking out the side of my neck. Maybe the Blazers acquire Carmelo and they become an offensive juggernaut. But whatever. Either way, whoever comes out of the East is going to have to play good defense if they want to win the championship. But if you play a team like the Warriors or the Rockets, especially the Warriors, so, you know, I don't know if the Cavs have enough offensive firepower. I mean, Isaiah Thomas is nice. I don't know. I'm kind of torn. I'm kind of torn because Isaiah really showed he took a major step this year. And I question, was it the system? Is it him? Can he sustain that kind of, you know, offensive output that he showed with the Celtics this year? So I'm not 100% sold that they're a lot better.
Well, Isaiah Thomas was the focal offensive threat when the Celtics team, and he was able to do what he did. Now he has a whole lot more firepower with Kevin Love spreading the floor. Obviously, LeBron James is going to be the distributor slash score whenever I feel like it. J.R. Smith helps spread the floor, and Crowder probably helps spread the floor a little bit too. So it's pretty. I think Isaiah's job will be a lot easier. But what I was going to say, and I saw this earlier today, which I don't know how true it is, but I think it's very true. The Bulls were working on trying to buy out Dwayne Wade. And if that happens, what I saw was that Dwayne Wade is going to look to sign with the Cavs. So, I mean.
See, they were talking about he was going to sign with Miami. So you're hearing the Cavs.
Well, I saw that earlier, but that's what I said. And it wasn't from a reputable source. It was just that I'm scrolling through my timeline on Twitter, and that's what I saw. And it makes sense because everybody's ring chasing, and everyone's trying to beat the Warriors. That's how you do it. You just go wherever you just stand next to LeBron James and beat the Warriors.
Is it interesting that in today's basketball world, the only person that seemed like they were running to go to Golden State is Kevin Durant, while all the other guys are trying to go the opposite direction? What's that about?
Well, I mean, the Warriors, they don't got enough money to pay anybody else. So it's like the Warriors are probably telling people to go away. Yeah, but I mean, I think that's going to be it all. That's going to be all we got. We only got 15 more seconds left. So, yeah, a lot of breaking news just happened today. We discussed some Blake Bortles and some Brock Osweiler and Kyrie Irving and Isaiah Thomas. So I think this was a pretty successful show.
Let's say so.
All right, man. Everybody have a good week. Talk to y'all next week.
Good night.